The beloved physician Luke, by inspiration, recorded in Acts chapter 2 the beginning of the Lord's church in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in the first century. Now, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles as had been promised by Jesus, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you see in Acts 2, verses 2 through 4, that's exactly what happened, as they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and these apostles that Jesus had chosen began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, as you'll see in Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus promised to give Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, that would include the other apostles as well, as they would be preaching in all the languages of those people present there in Acts chapter 2. You can see there in verse 8, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Now, as Peter, standing up with the 11, began to preach the first sermon of the New Testament church here in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, notice in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Peter was quoting from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And he was speaking as the Spirit gave him utterance, verse 4. And therefore, he was preaching God's word to the people, the truth. As Jesus prayed before he went to the cross, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. So, as we think about what does it mean, calling on the name of the Lord, and that's, of course, going to result in being saved, the converse would also be true, and that is whosoever fails or refuses to call upon the name of the Lord shall not be saved. So we need to understand that. That is of accountable souls, of course. And therefore, we can conclude it is vitally important, yes, to our eternal destiny, that we understand what calling on the name of the Lord means, as sadly many have neglected to understand this passage. And in fact, they have formed their own opinions. So we'll want to study this together in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And that's the most important thing we could be doing. And if we remember PFE as something to keep in mind every day, then we should be about preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, yes, sir, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. Then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to follow John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, if you're interested in studying the Bible together, we would love to set up a time at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses. And if you have Bible questions or comments, they're always welcome. And we appreciate, of course, getting those. And again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one other important announcement, and that is the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ is sponsoring their annual lectureship beginning November the 2nd, going through Thursday the 6th. And this is always an outstanding feast on God's Word. And I look forward to taking the week off to be there for all the lectures that I possibly can make, if my body is willing, and so forth, and the Lord tarries in His coming, of course. So make your plans to be there. It's at Stop 11 Road and Five Points, the very corner there. And the Sunday times would be at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and I'm privileged to be speaking at the 11 o'clock hour, and then a wonderful lunch, and then I believe it's 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the afternoon. And the times during the week, you'll want to check their website, get the names of the speakers and the subjects that they'll be speaking on, the topics. The theme of the lectureship is triumphs and tragedies. So I look forward to seeing you there, and we'll want to enjoy a good feast. Now, both physical and spiritual, by the way. Let's get to our study this morning, calling on the name of the Lord. What this expression does not mean, we need to start here first. It does not mean simply to call out vocally, "Lord, save me." Well, notice what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Therefore, just saying, "Lord, Lord," is not calling upon the name of the Lord. We need to certainly understand that. Well, here's another verse to look at, Mark 7:6-8, as the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So just speaking out, "Lord, Lord," and honoring Jesus with the lips is not enough. And in order to please God, we're going to have to submit to His will. Now notice Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, I want to mention this because some use the humble publican as an example of calling on the name of the Lord, when he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," in his prayer there in Luke 18:13. Well, we need to understand the publican was an Israelite living under the law of Moses, as he was already in a covenant relationship with God. And second, this is not an example of a conversion, as we find in the book of Acts. Well, let's go on. Something else that calling on the name of the Lord is not, and that is, it's not to put your hand on the radio or TV and ask God to save you. Well, of course, in the first century, they had no such things. We must not add to God's Word, Revelation 22:18. And so we don't need to go any further with that. I think we should all be able to appreciate that's not what it means, calling on the name of the Lord. And here's something else. It does not mean receiving some literature and signing a pledge card at a religious crusade or a religious service. Now, of course, we're probably most of us familiar with Billy Graham, when he was living, would have crusades. And what he did during those crusades was not telling people what to do to call on the name of the Lord. just as his son Franklin is now on TV telling people in their sins to say his suggested prayer, then call a given phone number. Well, that's not in the scriptures. There's nothing about praying before one is saved. You'll not find that. It does not mean standing up when the preacher gives the signal, or as one at one crusade held an outdoor at an outdoor theater, this preacher promised salvation to those who would turn on their headlights at a given signal. So we cannot find anywhere in God's Word where an alien sinner was told to pray and then call upon the Lord for salvation. No, sir. Calling upon the name of the Lord is the same now as it was back in the first century on the day of Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. So, what does the expression mean, calling on the name of the Lord? Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, and we'll note verse 16, as you'll see here. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, he was answering those that said they were full of new wine. Well, that's not true, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Peter quickly answered that. But he was quoting from Joel chapter 2, verse 32, which is as follows. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. That thus we can conclude Acts 2:21 is an expression taken from Joel's prophecy. And Joel's prophecy promised deliverance spiritually, not physically, as it was referring to the day of Pentecost, certainly here in Acts 2. Now, Peter promised deliverance to those who would call upon the name of the Lord. So, if we determine what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost to do in calling upon the name of the Lord, then we will have the answer to our question. What does the expression mean, calling upon the name of the Lord? Now, as we see, Peter preached concerning Christ's death by their wicked hands. Notice verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, Peter was preaching also not only concerning the death of Christ, but his burial, his resurrection, and him being Lord and Christ. If you'll study verses 24 through 36, you can certainly see that, as all of us can. And notice, when you get to the crux of the matter, as Peter said in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They had participated in crying out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Remember how that happened not long before the day of Pentecost? You see, notice what the convicted, those that were pricked in their heart. Yes, you see that in verse 37, do you not? They were pricked in their heart, cut to the quick. You know how it is when you jab behind your fingernail and into the quick? That hurts. And these people were hurt by what they had just heard because they realized they had participated in putting to death the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They realized that. These that cried out did. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, that's an excellent question to ask. having realized you're in sin, you participated in putting to death God in the flesh. Now, you need to know what to do about that, as all people today need to know what to do about being in their sins, as all sins are against God. And in order to be reconciled back to God, we have to know what to do in order to be saved, in order to call upon the name of the Lord. We need to know from the Word of God, not from opinions, not from feelings or opinions. But you'll see, Peter then commanded these believers. Yes, sir, they believed. He didn't tell them to believe because they already did. And he tells them what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's right. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's important. In the name of Jesus Christ. Name means what? Authority. In the authority of Jesus Christ, you need to repent and be baptized. Now, they would have confessed that Jesus is the Christ. Of course, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And you see other passages where, of course, we must make the good confession unto salvation. They would have done that. That certainly would have happened. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, to close out the verse. So again, in the name is by the authority of Christ. So by repenting, and of course after having believed, they would need to repent. They would have made the good confession. And then of course they needed to be baptized, that is immersed into a watery grave to contact the precious blood of Christ, which washes away our sins. As you can see here, that's in the authority of Jesus Christ that we're to do that. What's the results? For the remission of sins. Now, what does that mean? It means forgiveness. Remission, forgiveness, same thing. Being saved, that's right. So we're seeing now, what does it mean calling on the name of the Lord, submitting to His authority by obeying the gospel of Christ as they did the day the true church of the Bible began? Not a man's church that he constructed and came up with. No, this is the church that Jesus died for. It's His blood that purchased it. He is the head of His church, which is His body in a spiritual sense. It is His body. Now we need to understand that. One church, one body. And Christ is the foundation. And so we need to appreciate the oneness of the true church of the Bible. One shepherd, how many folds? One. That's right, as you study John chapter 10. Now, we need to notice here, if one is not responding to the gospel, then they're not saved, if they're accountable unto God, that is. So, it means the same today as it did in the first century, submitting to the authority of Christ. Remember, before Jesus ascended up into heaven, He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And with that authority, Jesus then commissioned His disciples to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the authority that Jesus was given by God the Father, and He thus used that authority. And so we are in the need to recognize the authority of Christ and submit to it. Yes, sir. Let's go now to Acts chapter 4, because we'll notice here, and when they had set them in the midst, that is, Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Well, if you go back to verse 5, you'll see that the rulers and elders and scribes and so forth, all are involved here. And they want to know by what power, in other words, by what authority, by what name have you done this? Is that not their question? Yes, verse 7. Now, let's go down to verse 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." You see, that's what they were questioning by, the apostles here, about that situation, a miraculous healing. Instead of rejoicing, they want to know, by what authority have you done this? Well, look at verse 11. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." You're finding Jesus as a rock of offense, but he's the chief cornerstone. He is the head of the corner. And notice verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other," what? "Name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other authority. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Do we accept that? Or do we go along with what someone told us we should do, or what it means to call upon the name of the Lord? Are we going to stay with the Scriptures, or be misled? We better stay with the Scriptures. So there is no contradiction in Peter's sermon and what Jesus Christ himself taught. Look at Mark 16:16 with me. And again, this is the Great Commission, as they were to preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Shall be saved. Now, that's in both passages, isn't it? Yes, go back to Acts 2, verse 21. What do we find? "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." What did Jesus say? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Well, some say, well, it didn't say, "He that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned." No, it didn't say that. Well, it didn't need to. If you don't believe, certainly being baptized would mean nothing. So that's not included, obviously. If you don't believe, you're not going any further. That's common sense. So let's stay with the verse that Jesus states what needs to be done in order to be saved. And let's conclude properly, what does it mean, calling on the name of the Lord? It means to obey the gospel, which includes certainly hearing the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It can come no other way. Romans 10:17. Of course, we're to believe. He that believeth, yes, we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Now, having believed, we need to repent, just like Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. They were to repent Get out of sin. Do the will of God. Let go of self-will. Do what God says by staying with the New Testament pattern. We must repent. I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Having repented, as we talked about earlier, the good confession needs to be made. As you see in Acts chapter 8, where Philip began at the same scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was studying, and he preached unto him Jesus as he was studying Isaiah 53. And the eunuch came upon water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He made the good confession. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Did you notice the emphasis here is going down into the water, both of them? That rules out pouring and sprinkling. It's an immersion process. And when they were come up out of the water, there you are, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. If you have not obeyed the gospel, what are you waiting for? We don't know when the Lord will come again. We don't know if we're going to get another day to live in this life, or another minute for that matter. Why put off rejoicing for having done the will of God and receiving salvation from one's sins, and then being added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself? Isn't that what happened in Acts chapter 2, the day the church began? Let's go back there. Verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And of course they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were worshiping God as they were taught by the word of God being given by the apostles. And you see in verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Does anybody miss this as to what happened the day the church began? There was one true church that was the Lord's body, the true church of Christ we're reading about here in the Bible, and the Lord added to the church of Christ those that were saved. And that was going on daily. So we need to appreciate this and stay with the scriptures and not be misled. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, as we just went over the plan of salvation. And we've answered our question this morning. Calling on the name of the Lord means to submit to the authority of Christ and obey the gospel, and we'll have salvation as we stay faithful. We thank you so much for listening today.